Hi, everybody. Just getting my notes up. Good to see everybody. So, we are going to continue with our breakthrough questioning module. We're going to kind of finish up a couple of little pieces we didn't get to last time and then move into different types of questions. And why and when to use different types of questions. Before we do, a couple of things. So, first, for those of you that were able to be at our workshop last Thursday, I just want to thank you again. What a beautiful and rich time. And if you weren't able to be there live on Thursday, but you've felt called to that session. It was for new and tentative practitioners, really is kind of looking deeper at fears around being a practitioner, shifting how you work, etc. If you've felt called, I highly recommend. I know it's a lot to listen to 3 hours, but I highly recommend listening to that session. Such great stuff came through. And so as we jump in for today, I would love to hear from a few of you on either what's been resonating for you around questioning so far. Maybe you haven't thought about questioning in a week either, which is totally fine, but maybe you have been. So, what's been resonating for you around questioning, or what's been resonating for you? If you were at the workshop or listened to the workshop afterwards, what's been moving through you? What have you been seeing and noticing? Or what would you like to celebrate? I'd love to hear from one or two of you voice to voice. Who'd like to share? What would you like to celebrate? What are you seeing? What are you noticing? Rana.
Hey, Joanna. I want to celebrate just how much I have deeply, deeply, deeply learned that it is safe to trust myself to be loving, bold, and fierce, particularly with my boundaries. And as a result, more opportunities and abundance has come my way. So that has been pretty spectacular evidence that by trusting my intuition and not questioning it in the moment for a second, feels really damn good. So,
I love to hear that. So happy to hear that. And I know that this is not just coincidence, Rana. You've worked. Like, you have worked
oh,
towards
yes.
this. You have
Thank
earned
you for
this.
that.
Yeah, really want
Yeah.
to acknowledge you for it. I'm thrilled to hear it. And I can't wait
Thank you.
to see what is going to come next of it.
Yeah, say, can I ask a question and maybe we'll get there in future? But on that same topic, there is just, I have amassed a ton of content, if you will, as a result of this. And I'm wondering if Sacred Depths goes deeper into that in terms of like case study, something more in depth as opposed to just a testimonial.
I'm not sure I understand
You know what? I'll save it for later,
Okay.
Joanna.
Yeah,
That's okay. I'll save it
I
for later.
want to hear it. I want to
Of
get
course.
you what
Yeah.
you need,
No
but
problem.
okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mindy.
Hi. Well, to piggyback a little bit on what Rama said, listening to everybody and realizing that my intuition is good and trustworthy, that's a big deal, especially as a new practitioner. And also, I think just listening to everybody else was so powerful and gave me more confidence, sort of normalizing some of the concerns and fears and seeing where everybody is. I actually have something to celebrate in that I have an opportunity coming up, I believe on November 10th, to give a talk somewhere. And so this is a big deal for me. I've never done this kind of thing before, but I feel drawn to do it. And I feel the confidence. It's stretchy for me and it's going to be a little scary, but I feel the confidence to go ahead and do that.
Yay! So,
So.
first of all, big celebrations all around the
Yes.
trusting your intuition, the having more confidence, the manifesting this opportunity, and then the being willing to step into the opportunity. And I think I even hear some excitement in
Yes.
the
Yes.
stepping in. So,
Yes.
I am thrilled. I'm so happy for you. Yay!
Thank you.
Who else? Maybe one more share. What else would you like to celebrate? What else has been resonating? What have you been noticing? Don't be shy. There one more share in there? I feel like there is. No. Okay. Well, then we'll jump in. So, Jenna's saying in the chat, I love how I've been leaning into the truth that my fears do not determine my value or worth. I love that that came through last week, Jenna, when we were together, and I'm so happy to hear that you've been leaning into this. Yes. It's great. All right. So last week, we looked at kind of foundations of breakthrough questioning skills, things that foundational ideas, foundational perspectives that really support crafting questions that are effective, that are impactful, that can yield breakthroughs. And, we looked at the principle of choice. We looked at a lot of different pieces around language. We looked at being lovingly bold. We looked at a lot of different things, the word choices, all of that. And there are a couple of other foundational pieces that I just wanted to make sure we covered that will really, I think they're important to just have when you craft questions. And like I said last week, and I want to say this again, our curriculum is designed to meet you where you're at. So I share a lot of information. If you are new to the skill of questioning, there is no expectation, nor should there be, that you're going to integrate and embody all of the different pieces that we speak about when it comes to questioning. That would be overwhelming and not useful. You're taking it in, focus on the pieces that you feel most drawn to first, master those, get to the next layers, it will also happen naturally. It's not even like you necessarily have to consciously always come back. You're taking in the information. It's a little bit like a time release pill, if you will. If you are more experienced and you're a seasoned practitioner, this content and this experience is here to meet you as well. Some of the things that I share, you already know because you are very good at asking questions. You may have been taken a training where you've learned how to ask good questions. That being said, I purposefully am giving a lot of details and a lot of flourishes and a lot of new places to lean into so that you can improve your questioning skills. So find the places where you're not embodying and work on those. Don't stay in your safe or comfortable space. You run the risk of that when you're a seasoned practitioner of just always kind of resting on your laurels. Of course, we want to have our confidence and rest on our laurels, right? But you're here because you want to improve, because you want to go deeper. Find the edges, find the new places or ideas to lean into. Okay, so all that being said, a couple of foundational pieces that I wanted to make sure that we looked at. Connecting the dots. When you ask questions, you want to connect the dots. And what this means is it's an invitation to slow down the line of questioning, to slow down the line of questioning. So what can oftentimes happen, and this is a trap that actually more seasoned practitioners fall into because of your experience, because of also like all the wisdom that you bring from having worked with clients, it's like you know so much. You can see people's fears sometimes before they see them themselves, or you can see their places of resistance before they see it themselves, or you can see the pieces that aren't working before people see it themselves, or you can see what's not aligned, or you can see the vision, or whatever it is. Your brain, because your smarty pants already sees it or gets it, or you've already made the connection, but your client has not necessarily yet made that connection. So this is a balance of keeping the end goal in mind always, but not rushing to the end goal. When you sometimes rush to like meet the client's intentions for the session, like let's just get there, you actually end up bypassing the exploration, the questions, the getting deeper into details, those little connect the dots pieces that, you know, our brains sometimes want to tell us, oh, that's a waste of time, let's just get to the end. But really, that's where the more of the embodiment of the conclusions can happen. So what this means is knowing the right moments for exploring inner feelings or motivations or limits or obstacles versus moving straight into questions about action and moving forward. Because sometimes it can be very tempting to ask the action questions, right? So what can you do about that? How would you like to achieve that goal? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all great questions, right? But oftentimes what can happen is we'll rush to those questions instead of taking a little bit of time to hang out in the inner questions, which will then create even more aligned answers, motivation, inspiration on the outer action questions. That makes sense? Another form of connecting the dots can be giving an example when, even within a question. So sometimes because your mind is working so quickly and you see, you know, what's ahead, you may ask a question that there's like a simple answer to it, and then there's a deeper answer to it. And sometimes if you give an example within the question, it can support the client to connect the dots to see that deeper answer inside of it. So you don't want to rush. And I think we've already seen in some of the work that we've done together so far, that when the energetics of the container are tight and aligned, time can slow down within a session. You actually have more time and space than you think you have. And then you can slow down, get and be able to really focus on the aligned questions, the aligned lines of creating awareness. There's always more than one in any session. That speeds things up, even though you're actually slowing down. Yeah, I knew somebody was going to ask if I can give an example of a question with an example in it. I'm like, I don't have one at the top of my mind. Hold on a second. So, I mean, this is kind of a simple one, but for example, let's say I've got a client and we've been doing some visioning and they vision a goal that they want to work on. That's a big leap for them. Totally awesome, possibly totally aligned, but I know for either from where they're at to where the goal is, it's a big leap, or just knowing from like a little bit of their history of how they respond to big goals that, you know, like this is a big leap for them. So I might ask, I would validate, you know, and acknowledge like the goal that's showed up and awesome and, you know, all the things, celebrate, acknowledge. And then I may, for example, ask a question like this. You know, before we get to strategizing that goal, one thing I'm wondering about is what are the parts of you that might resist this goal? For example, is there a part of you that is scared of visibility? Or is there a part of you that already feels overwhelmed with everything you have going on? Right? And then I may, at that point, just repeat the question one more time. What are the parts of you that might potentially resist this goal? The examples there can be helpful because sometimes somebody will vision an awesome goal and they're like, no, I'm like all in, let's go, rah, rah, like this is perfect, right? And then it kind of like bypasses some of the potential places that may be in their way. Is that helpful? Let me know. Yeah, okay. Another piece that can be really helpful when asking questions is to remember that one of the most powerful, I mean, there's so many most powerful things we can do as practitioners, but one of the very powerful things we can do as practitioners is to support clients to make connections, support clients to make connections. So a breakthrough is possible in the instance that a connection is made. And I'll give some examples of what I mean by this. A breakthrough is possible when a connection is made. So, for example, let's say you've got a client who's talking about seeing social media posts, and she's feeling really bad about herself, really comparing herself to other people when she sees all these social media posts. So a making a connection question might sound like this: what life situation does this remind you of? Right? That's one way of making a connection. What else does this remind you of? This seeing, feeling really bad about yourself by comparing yourself to others. Or another way of making a connection in that instance, supporting a client to make an action, is maybe as a practitioner, you remember that on a previous session, this client was describing her relationship with her sister, and she was describing that relationship as competitive. So you might make a connection there. You might ask, how does this connect to your relationship with your sister? Here's another example. Let's say a client is overworking and really not feeling good. And in a previous session, she mentioned that she struggles with some extreme behaviors like over-exercising. Make the connection there. You may ask a question like, what might the connection be? You mentioned over-exercising last week. What might the connection between over-exercising and overworking be for you? All right, so let me pause here. Anything that wants to be shared or what's coming together for you? Any questions on connect the dots and making connections? Mindy's saying, it feel like it might be really hard to not ask a leading question when trying to get a client to make connections. Yeah, so you want to be aware of that. And I'm pausing because I think sometimes it is a little bit leading too. And if you use some of the skills that we looked at in creating awareness in terms of being willing to be wrong and knowing that the client always knows best, it's still worthwhile to do it because it will correct itself. And then you can add, if you're really feeling like, oh, this might be leading, you can add some flourishes, right? So that we learned from our creating awareness module. So for example, it can have a little bit of a preamble to it. You can say, you know, I might be getting this wrong. So you let me know, but your overworking reminds me of your over-exercising. How does that land for you? Or is there a connection there for you? And you can do it that way. Kim.
I was just reflecting on where sometimes when the client is in that like big goal state, super excited and stuff, it can feel a bit deflating to try to get them to go into a more realistic look at this. And so I'm curious how you would handle the energetics if asking those questions starts to bring up feelings in them.
Yeah, such
that they're being repressed or something from just being in the happy place and not wanting to go into the reality of what they might face.
Completely. Yeah, I love this. So there are a couple of pieces there. So first of all, always coach the what based on the who. Sometimes a vision is going to come up and you're going to go into the inner first and then do strategizing. Sometimes a big vision will come up and it's more appropriate to go into strategizing, and then all the fears will just come up through the strategizing, right? So, you know, always coach the what based on the who. That's number one. I think what's important is to just not to bypass the inner peace, however it ends up rolling out. And then the other thing is, I always like to say, and this is part of connecting the dots, actually, is if I'm thinking it in my head as a practitioner, I'm going to connect the dots and say it to the client, right? So I might say something like, I have full certainty that you're going to be able to achieve this. You've got this resource, that resource, like whatever it is, I might say. And I also know from personal experience and working with people that our fears and resistances can come up. It can be a bummer to look at it, but are you open right now? I'm not going to do that with every client, coach the what based on the who. If it feels appropriate for that particular client on that particular day, connect more of the dots for them. Or you can backtrack into it if you didn't realize you had to, and then there's some resistance, and it could open up a beautiful conversation around always wanting to be in the high vibration and how sometimes that's works for them, and then other times it's like the kind of creates the obstacle too. So I know I'm not giving you one answer. It just depends on the situation and the client, but is that helpful to think about?
It is, because I think it's saying like, rely on your own intuition. You get to know your clients. Some of them, you might not know them well, some of them you will, but I liked how you kind of framed what I saw was almost doing like a sandwich. Like if you kind of anticipate that they might, I liked how you flipped it and said, start with either the strategizing or remind them that like, this is a reality we all face. And I think having the key that I'm getting from some of these things that you're talking about is that we begin to build quite an arsenal or toolbox of different ways to approach based on the who and the what. So yeah, it's starting to land a little bit deeper. Specifically what you're saying about the who and the what. And it takes you going back through these examples over and over again for it to really start to solidify that, yeah, and that's where our intuition supports us the most, is knowing the nuance and the subtlety of that who and what moment.
Yeah, 100%. And then knowing that, like, you know, thankfully the work that we do, this work is very forgiving. It's an art, not a science. And that's why I give so many thoughts and tools and techniques and connect the dots. And because it's if we see resistance comes up in one way or something needs more we can use it. It's not like, oh, I chose this course, and now we're coming to a halt. There's so many, so long as you're present and you're tuned into your client and you have these different tools in the toolbox, you're always going to find a way through.
Well, and it sounds like we can like be aware of when there might be an opportunity for bypassing and bring it back to the intention, which will actually support the client in seeing, we do have to kind of discuss this because we want to make sure that you're fully supported as you take the leap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Nihal.
Hi, I just wanted to really acknowledge and celebrate that this is a brilliant embodiment technique. A long time ago, was learning from an advertising executive who taught me this exact technique, but called it something different, and was like, the best advertisements are when you lay it all out for them and you have something over here and something right here, and they can just make that one little leap and then they feel like they've connected it and they have this huge aha moment and they feel it in their body. And in that moment, they think they own it. Like, it doesn't matter that you set it up or not. And I want to honor that this is a way for people to own their breakthrough instead of me just saying, oh, look at those connect. And then it's theirs and then it's their win. And I want to see it as a service in that way. So thank you for bringing this forward.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And I love that you shared that. And it's so true, like this applies to marketing too. The best marketing is actually the marketing that slows things down and connects the dots. So yeah, 100. I love that you learned it from a big executive. So good. Okay. All right. So with that under our belts, I want to go over, you're going to get a bunch of resource sheets with lots of different questions and all of that, but there are some I do think it's worthwhile. We may not go through all of them, but I do think it's worthwhile voice to voice and through this exploration in the container together for us to take a look at different types of questions that you can use. And before we do that, I want to share this in case it's helpful for anybody. When I first started working with clients, I was so nervous and I was like, what if I'm not going to ask the right question? What if I'm not going to know what question to ask? What if I go blank? And I just have nothing, you know, like there's nothing there. And so I got hold of some list of like 30 coaching questions that you can ask. And literally, no joke, for the first few months of working with clients, every single client call, I had that list in front of me as a little safety guard of like, just in case, I don't know, you know, I'll just like pick a question from this list and hopefully it'll get us somewhere. And the truth is, I only ever actually in a session used the list once or twice. However, it really helped me on an energetic level to know that that was there in case I needed it. And so, one of the resource sheets that you'll get, for those of you that are newer, if you want it, is like a list of top 50 questions that, you know, just like, anyway, it's good to look through them too and all of that. But there's no shame at all in having little aids if that helps you feel better. It's a little bit of a crutch, but what happens is, at least for me, it helped me build the confidence and learn to trust my own intuition. It didn't become like, oh, let me look at this, you know, for every question I'm gonna ask. Okay. So there are many, way more than we could ever cover, types of questions or categories of questions, but I do want to cover some of the most common today. So we'll look at some today, and then there'll be lots more that you'll get in resource sheets. But ones that I just are good go-tos to have, and for us to really unpack them a little bit and understand when to ask them and why to ask them, etc. So the first is one we've actually already reviewed in creating awareness, but I just can't emphasize it enough. It's the am I getting that right question. So we want to use the am I getting it that right question after you've reflected to a client, you've reflected something back to them, or you've created awareness or mirrored something. Examples of the am I getting that right question. And by the way, everything I'm sharing, you're going to get in writing on a document. I'm going through kind of quickly. So examples are, I'm hearing X, right? Whatever X is. Am I getting that right? It sounds like you're saying Y, right? Whatever Y is. Did I hear that correctly? As you were speaking, I could almost sense Z. Am I getting that right? I did that earlier with Mindy. I was like, as you were speaking, I sensed that there was an excitement there. Did I hear that right? So this is an opportunity to create awareness. Here's another category of questions that are really useful that get this category gets overlooked a lot. I call it definition questions. So a definition question is this. You might think you know what a client means when they use a certain term or say a certain concept, but don't make assumptions because you as the practitioner may actually be working with a different definition than your client. And it's important to be on the same page. The other use for definition questions is that it can be very powerful for a client to define something for themselves that like they've just taken as truth before, but to actually define it and create their own definition. It's like detaching from cultural messaging or parental messaging or have-tos or whatever, and actually creating your own definition, right? For example, of freedom. What does freedom mean? What's your definition of an amazing romantic relationship? Creating a definition of success or balance, etc. So examples of definition questions are, well, what does X mean to you, right? You just spoke about success in your business. What does that mean to you? Or define why. You just said that you want more balance in your life. Define balance. Explain Z a little bit more. Explain what you mean by freedom. Here's another type of definition question that can be very powerful sometimes. How is X different than Y? How is X different than Y? So for example, how is space in your schedule different than space in your mind? How is self-trust different than self-confidence? What's the difference between service and servitude? Right, so of course, situational. But this defining the difference between two different things. I'll get through one or two more categories and then we'll pause and then we'll get through some more. Next one is a real obvious one, but sometimes practitioners skip over. I'll explain more on that in a second. So this category I call clarifying the current situation. Questions. Clarifying the current situation questions. And you want to use these types of clarifying the current situation questions to gather more details on a current situation. But either because as the practitioner, you need more details on it, or because inviting the client to share more details can actually support them to create more understanding and awareness of the situation. I think the reason, here's the trap with these types of questions. Sometimes people can overuse them, right? And that's when we get into like meandering and we don't have the goal in mind and we're just getting details or it's gossip or like we've become interested, right? It doesn't serve the intention of the call sometimes to get a lot of details. And I think that's why some practitioners underutilize this category of questions because they don't want to get off track. They don't want to get into the weeds, etc. So you definitely want to, be asking yourself, do I need more details or is it important to get more details on the current situation when you're asking, and always keeping the client's end goal or intention in mind. So examples of this type of question. Let's say a client is talking about a team meeting and somebody was really rude. She saw this guy was so rude to me and it really, I shouldn't be treated this way and whatever. A clarifying the current situation question might be, what exactly did this person say during the team meeting? Here's another example of this. This has happened to me before, talking with a client about their business, and they say nobody signed up. Like, oh, it was a failure, nobody signed up for the thing. I'm going to ask some clarifying questions there. Was there any interest at all? Did some people get to the enrollment conversation and then they didn't sign up? Like, what does it mean that nobody signed up? That way we will be able to like strategize what needs to be strengthened or what needs to be done differently moving forward. Somebody tells you they had a date that went really badly and they don't want to date again, you know, whatever. Well, how did the date go badly? Yes, you may want some of that information as a practitioner, but also as a client shares about how it went badly, it might open up awarenesses for them or understanding, or maybe it wasn't all bad or, you know, whatever it is. What was your intention when you canceled that doctor's appointment, right? Sometimes, again, getting details. Ray's asking the question, when I use the word gossip, my antenna raise. Do you mean that our questions could invite them gossiping about their own life? Yeah, what I meant by that is because we care about our clients, and like I always feel there's, I want to know, I care. You know, it's like, you want to make sure that you're not crossing over into the friend, like, oh, tell me some more details about that, right? So not even negative gossip, but just this, like, you know, gossip, like, I want to hear more about that, right? Sometimes it's totally appropriate in order to support the client. And then other times it's like being, I don't even have the right words for this, because obviously you want to be friendly with your clients, but it's moving more into the friend role than the holding space practitioner role. Okay. I'll do one more category and then we'll pause. Visioning questions. So we're going to do a whole module. Our next module is on visioning. So we're going to get into all of the details of this, because there really is an art to visioning well. But for now, I'll just share, we want to ask visioning questions when we're working with a client and something needs to change in a situation, something needs to be tweaked. We want to ask visioning questions if an issue needs to be resolved in a different way or seen in a different way. We want to ask visioning questions when there's a new creative idea that's ready to emerge. We want to ask visioning questions when a client is ready for expansion. So again, we're going to get into all of the details of this in a couple weeks, but for now, here are some examples of visioning questions. What would it look like if? What would it look like if you owned your own business? What would it look like if you found a home that was so aligned for you? What would it look like to be in a romantic relationship with someone who really respects you? Here's another example of a visioning question. If you could change one thing about X, what would it be? If you could change one thing, let's say they're talking, this happens sometimes, like a program that they lead that's not totally where they want it to be. If you could change one thing about that program, what would it be? And that will lead, it's not like you only have to stick with one thing, right? But that will lead into a discussion. Here's another example of a visioning question. If you could have this any way that you want, how would you have it? people forget to give themselves permission to have things the way that they want it because we were not taught to do that. More on that soon. Here's another example of a visioning question. What would the best possible outcome look like here? What do you see when you step out of the box? Where does the universe want you to stretch next with this project? That's a great spirit level question, right? Getting them out of like their own head, their cognitive thoughts, connecting to spirit, or universe, or what would your great grandmother Betty, where would your great grandmother Betty want you to stretch next in this project, right? If they really admire their great grandmother, whatever it is. All right, let me pause here. Any thoughts or questions on am I getting that right questions, definition questions, clarifying current situation questions, or visioning questions? And hi, Christina, glad you're here. Rana.
Hey, my question, and maybe we'll get there with the visioning piece, is bringing in that trauma-informed perspective of when a client is so incredibly activated and triggered. And I heard you say, you know, when the client is ready for expansion and bringing that awareness. But I've ran into situations when a client is so activated and I tend to know that now is not the time. They're literally just trying to survive the next hour or day, for example. And they also want, there's this pressure if they're in a controlling or let's say hyperachiever mode to get to the next thing or figure it out. Are we gonna speak more to that?
Yeah, in lots of different ways. So we'll definitely touch on that a little bit in visioning and definitely ask questions to go deeper with it there, but we will look at it there. And then this also relates to being in the mystery and wintering and kind of breaking out of patriarchal messaging around more, do. So we'll get there too. I mean, we can relate it to resistance, you know, all of that. And what I'll also just say for now is even in a situation like that, there is sometimes potential for a different kind of visioning. So, you know, just to say, like, how can you optimize the next 48 hours? Like, considering all the realities of your life, what is it that you would really love to have happen over the next day or 2 days? What is your top value or priority for the next 2 days, right? So then it's actually honoring the situation, putting focus on getting what they need to get out of this period that they're in.
Yep.
But it's using visioning questions.
Yeah. Thank you. I like that as a both and. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Great cue. All right. I lost my notes. Hold on a sec. Here we go. All right, let's keep on going. Another category of questions, and this relates back to the four levels of learning and processing, is asking feeling questions. You want to ask a feeling question. There are a couple instances that you want to think about using a feeling question. So after a series of new intellectual or mental level awarenesses coming through, if you've been a lot in the cognitive, switch it up, ask a feeling question. When you sense that a client needs to connect to something a little bit deeper than just the mental level, ask a feeling question. when you sense that there's not enough emotional resonance with what you're discussing, it's like you're talking about a goal, but it almost feels like detached or, you know, whatever it is, or doing something or strategizing or like a new idea. And it just, you sense that there's not an emotional resonance there for the client. Ask a feeling question. Because remember, just activating the cognitive level alone is not enough to really move forward, to create transformation, to have the motivation, the inspiration, the trust to move forward on what you're looking at with the client. So, examples of feeling questions, for example, simply how would that feel? Right? Maybe you're talking about a strategy or taking an action or doing something new or setting a boundary. How would that feel? Here's another example of a feeling question. How do you feel in your body right now? Right? So as we talk about setting this boundary with your sister, how are you feeling in your body right now? Or how do you feel in your body as you describe that? Here's another example of a feeling question. What is your heart telling you about this? Right? Sometimes you can just ask that question, and just the question alone connects the client to a place beyond just the mind. They're connected into their body at that moment, their heart. Sometimes when I ask that question, I might say, is it okay to close your eyes for a moment, right? And if it's a yes, can you close your eyes, put a hand on your heart, or even just put a hand on your heart without the closing of the eyes. Here's another feeling question. What energy do you associate that with? Right? There's in all of these, there's the cognitive level too, but we're bringing something to the body or the feeling. What do you notice about the tone of your voice as you share about this? This can be a very powerful question that supports someone to connect to their emotions and to what's like right underneath the surface. What do you notice about the tone of your voice as you share about this? Now, obviously, I'll only ask that question if I notice there's a quality in the change of the tone of their voice. What's underneath that? That can be another feeling question. There's usually an emotion or a feeling. So particularly if a client is talking about feeling confused or worry, there's usually another emotion or feeling underneath confusion or worry. Generally, it's anger or grief. Could be excitement too, or love. So oftentimes if a client is like stuck in confusion or worry, I'll say, see if you can sink a little deeper. What's the emotion that's right underneath that? And usually that will open up a whole new level and layer, in the conversation. Images and metaphors can also activate feeling, and you can work them into questions. So one example is, what's an image that reflects the situation that you're talking about, right? If the situation reminds you of something in nature, for example, what would it be? Or you as the practitioner can provide the image. This is more, less question, more creating awareness with a question. As you're talking, it reminds me of a racehorse waiting at the gate. Does that land for you? But images can connect us to feelings. Motivation questions. another category we want to make sure that we sometimes include. So when your clients are aware of their motivation towards a goal, it's easier for them to move forward towards the goal. Not 100% of the time, but I would say 99% of the time. When we're aware of our motivations, it's easier for us to move forward. So we want to use a motivation question when we sense that our client needs more motivation, needs a bigger reason. This is connected to the spirit level. Needing a bigger why, needing to connect to something bigger for inspiration and motivation. When we sense our client needs a mission, needs inspiration in order to move forward. So examples of motivation questions are, what's your deep why when it comes to this project, right? Let's say a client has gotten stuck in a rut with a project and they're kind of dragging their feet, you know, they're not feeling it. Of course, you might look at resistance or fear questions, but sometimes you just need a good motivation question. Let's connect back to your deep why on this. Why did you start this project in the first place? Another example of a motivation question. Why is that so important to you? Right? You're talking about a vision or something a client is going to do or create, an action they might take. Why is that important for you? What about that excites you? What value will this experience have for you? Why might spirit be asking you to do this? If you know that's language of your client. All right, do one more and then we'll pause. This is one of my favorite categories. It is underutilized by most practitioners and it is a very powerful type of question. And I call it a percentage or a number question. Percentage or a number question. So we want to use a percentage or a number question when a client needs support distinguishing story from reality. When a client needs support distinguishing story from reality, a percentage or number question is really powerful. Or when a client is unclear about their truth, with a capital T, sometimes, oddly enough, a percentage or a number question can be really clarifying. When a client is confused about something in their life. So here are some examples. On a scale of 1 to 10, how true is that statement, right? Let's say the client said, I never get what I want ever. On a scale of 1 to 10, how true is that statement? That can help distinguish story from reality. Let's say a client is like, ugh, none of my friends ever think about my best interest. So a question you may ask in that situation is, you know, if you were to put a percentage on that, what percentage of your friends are actually not thinking about your best interest? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you actually wanted to apply for that job? Right? And then you can follow it up with a why on whatever they answered. Why was that an 8? Why was that a 60%? Et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes the putting it into numbers is kind of like this. It puts it a little bit more into, like I said, it takes it out of the story and it kind of helps the client pin down some things. All right, let's pause here. Questions, observations, things that you want to add around feeling questions, motivation questions, or percentage or number questions, or even just what's bubbling up for you in general around questioning. What cues do you have? What do you want to add? What do you want to share? Cindy.
Oh, good. I have two I have two women that I have to negotiate between tomorrow, and they both are like sticklers for doing it right. So they both have that mindset of doing it right. So A helped B put her package of 10 items from a Word document to PDF.
Okay.
And so there was some conflict there. So what questions would be best for me? Because I've got to talk to both to create a rapport again. Would the feeling questions work to say how they're both feeling?
Let me just understand the situation a little bit more. So you've got two clients that are separate private clients, but they know each other. And so they're both working with you separately.
Yes.
They're friends or colleagues.
Yes.
And the one helped the other with a task.
Yes.
And then what happened?
It went badly.
Okay.
So the one has the technology background, so put the document into a PDF, but the page numbers weren't there. And I guess there was an argument between the two. So they both want to talk to me now. So I'm getting this through emails. And I'm looking at these questions that maybe the place to start, because they're both upset that they feel not heard by the other, would be perhaps the feeling questions to start with.
Yeah, so it's a great cue, and it depends on what their intention is.
Okay.
So I want to remind you and all of us of that. You want to start the session by, you know, and is it a scheduled session or is it something that they're like, I need to talk to you. Can you like get on the phone? Because I'm so upset.
It's scheduled for tomorrow. Two different times.
So you can say like, I know you've got some things going on. I'm so glad our call is this week, you know, like perfect timing. And I don't want to make any assumptions. First, what I want to hear from you is what's your intention for our call? You know, what is it that you would like to receive? Mm-hmm. Right? Because we don't want to make any assumptions about what they might need around the situation, even if we know that they're upset. And just the line of questioning, because it may take more than one question for them to clarify what it is that they want to receive, will help them. Will help them with the situation, right? And then based on what the intention is, and there's never going to be only one right answer, remember, it's an art, not a science. You know, you'll ask questions from there, but I don't think you can guess into it until you really clarify what they want to receive.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful because I'm already assuming. And just to step back and just, what's your intention? How can I help you?
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's just say it is this blanket of like, I'm so upset. And I just like, I don't know what to do. And I'm angry. And I don't want to be, you know, so upset anymore. Right. So let's just say that. Let's say it's that. So first you'll reflect and validate and say, yes, we're going to do that. I'm so glad. And then again, it depends, but slow it down. Right. Slow it down. So even from there, you might use a definition question, right? So what would it mean to not be upset in this situation, right? And they may share that. You know, my interest, depending on what a client wants to receive, is to get to deeper triggers. I might ask a connect the dots question at some point, not right away. They might say, like, I'm so angry. How does this remind you of another situation in your life? You know, getting to the pattern. So again, I'm not saying definitely to do that, but just to remind you of the foundations, the choice philosophy, connecting the dots, slowing things down, helping to create connections. You want to be thinking about all of those, not all of them, that's overwhelming, whichever foundational pieces you can remember as you're going through.
Funny. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Stacy.
Hi. Hi. I'm not sure if I'm going to put this into words. It's not totally clear, but is it right that the time for this type of question is when the client is showing signs of wanting to bring a project into reality, or some motivation energy is there and they're wanting to actually get beyond what is stopping them with it? I have used this question in the past.
Tell me which question you're talking about, which category.
You know, to put specificity onto something a client says. And I'm thinking back to one particular client that it kind of burned me in a way from asking these types of questions, because it took her out of the mystery. And what I'm pretty clear, like the state she needed to be in was in the dreaming stage. She was in the wintering stage. Yeah. And so maybe I made the mistake of pushing for a scale question.
Oh, you're talking about the scale. Yeah. So are you talking about the visioning questions and the...
Well, I'm actually talking about the percent and number questions.
Oh, yes. 100%. So speaking of percent, so there's... how do I want to put this? And we'll get to all of this more when we look at visioning and strategizing too. So those percentage and number questions really are like when a client, again, either needs to see the difference between a story that they're making up in their head because of like negative thought patterns versus reality. That's one way. Or when there's confusion about something. But that's different. Confusion is different than being in the mystery. So, I mean, they can overlap, right? But being confusion, when I say confusion, I mean more because their own resistance is getting in the way versus they're in a winter phase. They're in that, like, that beautiful, juicy darkness of, like, anything can happen. And they might be seeing some of the shadows of what could be next, but they're not ready to see the details. So when a client is in that place, you don't want to ask those hard line, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to go with this right now? Or are you, you know, all of that, you do want to stick with that, those more vision-y questioning, like, what are you feeling called to? What would spirit want you to do? You know, what are you starting to see that could be potential here? What might excite you here? So you'd want to stay more in the realm of the visioning versus the let's pin this story down. All right. Is that helpful?
It is. And I think what I had was an experience of her resisting. It wasn't wintering. It was her confusion and resistance to the question.
Yeah. So then you, and we'll get there, but we'll get into fears and resistance and all of that. And
thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked it, because it's a good to define those two things. All right. Let's keep on going. I'm not going to get into the details of these because we're going to have plenty of sessions on the uncovering the obstacle questions, insights into the obstacle questions. We're going to, and also strategizing questions, but just, and you'll get already examples on the resource sheet for this week, but just so you know, uncovering obstacle questions, strategizing questions are definitely places you want to be hanging out to support people to move forward. Let's talk about, I call them getting support questions. So you wanna use a getting support question when you sense that a client is overwhelmed or taking on too much. When a client is overwhelmed or taking on too much. So examples of getting support questions are, who can help you with this? If you knew that they would say yes, who would you ask for help? What can you delegate? What request can you make? And then related to this, you know, when a client is overwhelmed or taking on too much, sometimes it's a what can you let go of question, right? What can you let go of? What's overcomplicating things here? What's actually not necessary in your schedule for the next week? What are you clinging on to that you don't actually need? So we can call those simplifying questions. What can you say no to starting today? What can you simplify? What's no longer serving? Also, another one of these simplifying or letting go questions is what's the top priority here? When you can define the top priority, you can start to see other things as not so top priority for that moment. Another category of question I like to call integration questions. So you want to ask an integration question after a lot of new awareness has been created. That's one instance. So if a lot has come through, a lot of new awarenesses, you want to ask an integration question. You want to ask an integration question if a lot of different strands or ideas or threads have come to the surface. It's a good moment to pause and ask an integration question. And also at the end of every session, I like to ask an integration question. So examples are, what are you seeing for yourself here? What's important about all of this? So sometimes if we've been through a lot over the course of, let's say, 7-8 minutes, a lot has come through. I'll say, okay, let's pause here. What's important about all of this? What's feeling most important here to you? What are you really seeing here? What are you learning? What's your takeaway? What's the wisdom that's coming forward here? So again, good for end of sessions to close that container for the session, create some integration, but also you want to be tracking through a session, are there moments that you kind of want to pause and have a client integrate because a lot is coming through? I think I've already shared about yes or no questions. I really like these too. We want to use them very sparingly. Even for myself, I overuse yes or no questions when really I should be asking an open-ended question. So we want, like, it's a good thing to watch yourself for. Your coaching will get better if you ask fewer yes or no questions. That being said, there are some moments that yes or no question can be incredibly powerful. And that's when a client is on the verge of making a serious commitment or decision. When a client is on the verge of making a serious or a new commitment or taking a new action, like they're really ready, taking a decision, supporting them to become aware, not just cognitively, but in the saying it out loud, they get to embody it a bit. Their yes or their no can be a very powerful moment. So if you ask it prematurely, it's not gonna have that same zing, but if the client is really right on the verge, it can be so powerful. So for example, let's say you've been having conversations, client stays up too late consistently, you've looked at the reasons why, you know, like you've looked all around it and you can really feel that the client is ready to try to break this habit. Like they're ready to commit to going to bed a half hour earlier every night. One possible yes or no question is, so are you done with staying up so late, right? Or are you ready to take action here? are you ready to commit to blueprinting every day? Sometimes I get to ask clients that question when they're ready. Are you willing to let go of that relationship? You don't want to ask this question at the beginning of a session, right? When a client comes forward with a misaligned relationship, right? You want to ask it when they're ready, when they're ready to make the commitment. If you sense, sometimes it can, you can also like smooth this one out a little bit. Like maybe they're not ready to make the commitment, but they're ready to think about it, right? Are you ready to think about letting go of the relationship? Are you finished with letting yourself be a doormat, right? That to say that yes out loud can be very empowering. Now, never be attached to outcome. A client might say no, but that's really important too. Interruption questions. Sometimes we need to ask interruption questions. So we want to ask an interruption question when a client has been talking too much and not getting to the point, or distracting themselves with details that are unimportant. I see some of you laughing because you know this is true. And I always get this question, how do I interrupt a client? Can I do that? And the answer is yes, you can. And it really serves, again, if they are not getting to the point, right? They're just talking, they're not getting to the point, they're distracting themselves. So here are a couple of examples of how you can ask an interruption question in a way that is totally loving and not insulting and not shaming, you know, anything like that. Let's pause here for a moment. What's the essence of what you're saying? Or let's pause here for a moment. What feels most important about everything that you're sharing? Now here's a bolder one. And again, every situation requires something different and a different energy, etc. I sense that you're beating around the bush. What are you avoiding? We'll share a couple more categories. Challenge questions. So these aren't exactly questions. They're more like invitations. So you want to ask a challenge question in a moment when you sense a client is ready to stretch beyond their perceived limitations. This is a way to lovingly shepherd a client beyond what they think is possible for themselves. And challenge questions involve measurable action. They involve measurable action. So here are examples. I challenge you to generate 3 sales calls this week. How does that land for you? I challenge you to stop complaining for a full week. What do you think about that? Right, we're not asking these questions at the beginning of a session, right, when we get into it, right? This is towards the end when we're starting to strategize. It's kind of a way of strategizing. I challenge you to reduce your expenses this month. I have a feeling that's way too easy for you. How can you go further? Now, here's the thing that's important to know about challenge questions or challenge invitations. Don't be attached to outcome. Know that your client can accept or decline or negotiate the challenge. The trick is to use it as a way that is motivating and stretchy, but also not shameful if the client isn't up for it. Okay. Confrontational questions. I like to think of these as bold and loving. As we talked about in the Creating Awareness module, and back to coach the what based on the who, and different whos are different on different days and in different moments. Sometimes it can really serve a client if the container is tight and if they're in the place to receive it, to ask something that's just a little bit bolder or a little bit more confrontational. I mean confrontational in a positive way. We always, always want to deliver a question that is a little bit more confrontational with love and non-judgment. And knowing that our client is whole and complete no matter what. So some examples. What if what you just shared was actually not true at all? I feel like I want to call BS on what you just said. What do you think? This is a yes or no question. And it's a little bit leading. And again, you know, you want to think about before you ask a question like this. Is it possible that your relationship is wrong for you? Now, still confrontational, but maybe not as direct as the question I just shared. How have you been clinging on to this relationship to keep you safe? Less leading. A little, right? All right. I'll share two more categories. Encouraging questions. So you want to use encouraging questions when a client is thinking about stretching themselves, but they need a little extra encouragement or assurance or motivation. So an example is, what do you need to say yes in order to create, what do you need to say yes to creating an online dating profile? Right? They just need a little encouragement. So what else do you need so that you can create that? Or another example, it feels like you're almost there. What do we need to tweak so that you really feel ready to create an online dating profile? And then assessment questions. So practitioners sometimes forget to ask assessment questions. You want to ask an assessment question when a project or an initiative has either come to an end or come to a turning point or come to an obstacle. This can be personal or professional, right? All of these things. So examples of an assessment question, what's working? What's not working and why? What can you learn from the situation? One of my favorite questions, What are the resources and strengths that you already have? All right, I know I went through these quickly, and like I said, these are not to all like memorize and master in a day. I want to invite you wherever you are, whether you are seasoned. If you're seasoned, you probably are very familiar with a lot of these questions and you lean on them a lot. If you're seasoned, I want you to pick two new types of questions to be aware of in your coaching sessions. If you're a new practitioner, same thing, actually. Pick two that you want to be aware of, you know, and you can look at two a week or something like that. All right. We've got just a few minutes left. I know today's call was a mostly intellectual, informational call, but nonetheless, I'd love for you to take a moment and, well, a couple questions. Number one, which two categories do you want to work on this coming week? Or focus, be more aware of? Next question. Yeah, and these are great in the chat. Visioning and simplifying, confrontational and interruption, integration questions. We've got a whole conversation about the seasons. Well, you know, I could talk hours about that. Next question. I don't know. We'll see if what answers come up for this. What's your edge? Like, when you think about everything we've looked at last week and this week, what's your edge when it comes to questioning? So the categories you identified, that's part of your edge, right? And then kind of like go, see if you can go even deeper. Like what's your edge when it comes to questioning? Confrontational questions. Yep. So, for example, Kim, you know, if it makes sense for you, it might be worthwhile an exploration around the fear of confrontation and what beliefs are important for you to remember when it comes to confrontational questions.
If I can share. I think that's more that self-informed, trauma-informed, to be cautious of putting myself in situations, because I have done a lot of work on, it's all layered in boundaries and stuff to know how to be in those situations. But I think what I'm seeing for the coaching stuff is just to really be aware of how tight my container is, how my relationship is with the client, and be aware of my own level of safety with that. Because I did have a few clients where they got triggered, I got yelled at, and it made me a bit hesitant. But as I'm moving back into doing this from a better place, because I've sorted through some of that stuff, like you said, it's the, I am whole and complete and I'm not attached to what might come up for them. And knowing that I have the skills through this work in being able to navigate that a little bit better. Whereas before I was trusting my intuition, but not prepared for how it could sometimes trigger. So it's the thing that I'll probably lean into the most is being okay with that. Because all the other ones, I'm like, good. Anything that's on the, like, I'm here to encourage you and amplify you and all that kind of stuff. but I couldn't go there with clients. And so now I can, and it's dipping my toe back in that water again.
I'm so glad you're willing. I'm really happy to hear it, Kim.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's a beautiful last piece for us to end on. So with that, I will just send all of you a lot of love. Practice questioning this week. Work on it in your partner sessions. Break it down afterwards. Be aware of it for those of you that are working with clients, right? Be aware of what your intention is around questions, where you want to lean into, and let me know what you need as things come up. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.